Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where have you been all week? Oh, my goodness gracious. We started off Tuesday. Yes, Monday was a holiday. So we started off this week on Tuesday with Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. And my 2 cents review of Kingdom Business Season 1 Episode 8 was going on. Yes. And what a bit happened in this season finale. But one of the things I want to stick a pin in this morning was, you know, Danita was giving some words of wisdom, you know, from her, I guess you want to call him a spiritual advisor. And, you know, she wants to know what his dream meant and, you know, all of this and all of that the week before. And, you know, she was so desperate, you know, to get it right. And she's trying to, you know, change things. So she goes to Caesar and she makes the promise that, I'll give you your money that you're owed for all these royalties. And I'm going to set it straight. I'm going to let everybody know that you are really the one. You are... that I'm going to let everybody know that you were the one that was behind the song. Well, in this episode, given the opportunity to do so, she thanks her dad. Yes, she doesn't mention anything. That's a big opportunity to set things straight about Caesar and, you know, the royalties and the acknowledgement. And that's all he wanted. He just wanted the acknowledgement. And, you know, what it makes me think of is, you know, when we say we want to do what's right by God, when we say we want to be on the right track with God, are we truly willing to do whatever it's going to take to set it right to God? You know, it's Dwayne, the character that confronts him place the week before, really laid it out to her and really let her know, if you don't set this thing straight with God, your entire world is going to crumble. And this week, you know, gave an opportunity, you know, in a couple of ways for her to just set things straight. And, you know, she made it her business to let her husband know that, listen, I'm not going after this marriage no more. That's it. And, you know, once it's all done and done, and I'm not going to worry about this thing no more. And my question becomes, if there's truly a desire to be in right standing with God, if there's truly a desire to make things right after God has given us, you know, the chance that we need, are we willing to do whatever it takes to make it right with God? Are we willing, you know, to be forgiving as God has forgiven us? Are we willing to just set the record straight and, you know, make everything right that God is calling to our attention? And, you know, it's interesting because once the bishop said he wanted to do things right, you know, they showed him, you know, making amends. They showed him, you know, trying to wine and dine his wife and, you know, fix things. And, yes, he had been unfaithful to her. And, you know, this was, like, throughout their entire marriage. But are we going to put a limit on God? Are we going to say that after 30 years, you know, God can't change a person? Are we going to say that? Are we going to say that that forgiving power, that mercy and grace that all of us are recipients of? I don't even want to say have been a recipient, because we wouldn't be right here right now either talking or listening if it wasn't for the mercy and grace of God. So, you know, it just made me wonder again, are we truly repentant? Do we really want to set things straight and be on in right standing with God? And your actions will show it. So, yeah, that's what we talked about. You know, part A of the season finale chatter. You know, we're going to finish this up next week, God spares. You know, some other stuff that we need to talk about. And then we'll wrap that season up. Okay? So make sure you join us next week, Tuesday, God spares. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around. And Vivian got us started with the socially conscious segment. And she talked about mouse embryos. That concept being used in people, in a woman, you know, changing the initial structure of, you know, what it's going to take to create a life, to make a life, you know, and the fact that they are planning to replace, you know, sperm and egg with this embryo process, the stem cell process. And so why don't we just learn to leave God's process alone? Well, so that said a lot right there. Leave go. Wait a minute. Just learn to leave God's process alone. Shanti, write that down. Because I think I want to come back to that today. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the ladies were in the house because it was Wow Wednesday. And we talked about things that women are concerned about that men will never be concerned about. And one of the topics was the fact that, you know, women are considered to be too emotional. You know, they don't have any problem calling us crazy. Yeah. And men don't have to worry about that. You know, if they do what they do or respond the way they respond, they're not considered to be too emotional. Yeah, women always, always have to worry about being considered too emotional or crazy. Yes, yes, yes. What about the fact about putting makeup on to be considered presentable? Yeah, that is factual. You know, a woman feels like she needs to be dolled up in order to sometimes just go to the store. Yeah, go to the supermarket. take you 15 minutes to get that face together, because you got to make it look a little like something. And then really don't have to worry about that issue. So these are just a couple of things that we talk about on Wednesday that, you know, really make the difference between a woman's life and a man. Okay. Well, yesterday, Therapeutic Thursday was a little different than what we normally do. You know, we talked about these old stars. Yes. These old stars that, you know, we would have thought were long gone. But they're actually still hanging around. Yeah. You know, we talked about the honeymoon star, Joyce Randolph. Yes. Who's, I believe, 93 now. And there's no way in the world we would have thought that she was still hanging out. Oh, we talked about Gilligan's Island star, you know, who played Ginger. Oh, she's still hanging around. Yes. Okay. Oh, we talked about Billy Dee Williams, that is. You know, who is still hanging around. Oh, what about Bob Barker? The Price is Right. Man, come on down. Yes, he is still very much alive. And, you know, we didn't talk about anything serious yesterday. We just kind of, you know, floated around and we had some laughs. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you just kind of let your head down and you come up out of the thick of things. And you just kind of go another route. And, you know, they always say laughter is the best medicine. And anytime you hang around with this Duchamp crew, you know good and well you gonna laugh. Oh, yeah. You are going to have a chuckle or two. So, because that's how we spent our Thursday. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. And I got to tell you, I don't know what's on the horizon today. You know, I don't know if our full D-Time crew is going to be available to us. But listen, God's always got a ram in the bush. And I don't have a clue, but he does. And I don't worry about this broadcast because it's his ministry. So therefore, it's his job to put the pieces together each and every morning. Yeah, I don't do anything. I don't do anything but get myself ready and positioned to bless you each and every morning and to be blessed. Because a lot of times, you know, you think you're putting out, but in actuality, you're receiving. But I want to put a little contingency on that. You can't be blessed unless you position yourself to be blessed. Ooh. So, you know, in other words, I get on this broadcast every morning, Monday through Friday, to be a blessing. And because I understand that this is God's work that we're doing, I have to trust that there's something in it for me. And not greed or I got to see what I can get out of it. No. That if I am going to be a blessing, I sure believe that God has prepared the ground for me to be blessed. So I just got to position myself to see to it that you know, that it happens. And I have to tell you, every day, as the host of this broadcast, every day I walk away blessed. Formal fashion, I walk away blessed, and I give God thanks, because that's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to be humble enough to receive and not just give, and understand that God has something for you. So, you know, I encourage you today to position yourself to be blessed. Don't block your blessings. That can easily happen. Don't block your blessings. So, we're going to get our morning started. I'm going back to that list, by the way, and finish up. I don't know how long that list is. I don't know how many more people's on that list, but we're going to, if it's five more people, two more people, one more people, one more person, we're going to find out who else is on that list. So, I want to have some fun this morning. I don't know what the morning's going to bring, but I pray that you go on this ride and this journey with me, and we all come up and out of this thing blessed. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time. The Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I paint the decorative contact lenses they use for characters in a lot of TV shows and movies, the kind people also use for costumes. You need to see a licensed eye care professional to get fitted and to get a prescription so you don't damage your eyes.
Like any contact lenses, the decorative ones aren't one size fits all. And if someone tries to sell you them without asking for a valid prescription, don't buy them. You can get infections, permanent scarring, and even blindness.
Unlike on American Horror Story, you can't replace your eyes once they're damaged.
I just got an epiphany. Good morning, and welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. That's two things, Shantice, that I'm coming back to you for. Oh, my goodness. God is amazing, y'all. God is amazing. He's amazing because he brought us all the way through this week without hurt, harm, or danger befalling us. I give God thanks because he has brought me into Friday, into my right frame of mind, that it is still lit. I am still getting stuff from him, even through a PSA that has nothing to do with this walk. Oh, he is amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. Oh, my goodness. I'm coming back to that. I'm coming back to that. So listen. Let's get to this list. Let's finish up this list. I don't know how many more people are on this list, but I want to have a little bit of fun. I don't want to be all sticky and stuffy just yet. So I want to talk about some of these stars who have been in the entertainment industry and who are still hanging out with us. Well, Joe Pesci. Oh, my goodness. Now, I don't know about you, but I tell you, I loved him in Goodfellas. I loved him. No, let me tell you. He is definitely well known for Home Alone. I think he was in two of the Home Alone, the first and the second. What about My Cousin Vinny? I actually liked that movie. But let me tell you what I really loved him in. Casino. Oh, he was twisted. Oh, my goodness, he was twisted in Casino. Well, Joe Pesci is now 75 years old. Well, I tell you, you got a big bang for your buck in this little body. Oh, my. Who else is still hanging out with us? Now, I'm going to say this again, as I said yesterday. You know, I know our older listeners and due timers, you know, will remember some of these people. And some of the millennials and younger people won't. But listen, hey, You might, you might not, but just come on. Come on for the ride. Oh, Meredith Baxter. Now, you, yes, you know exactly who I'm talking about. She is famous for playing the mom on Family Ties. You remember Family Ties with Michael J. Fox? Yes. Yes, yes. What do we do, baby, without us? Yes, see, I knew you would remember. Yes. She is, now listen, she's been married 4 times. Yes. But she's still hanging out at 73 years old. Man, 4 marriages would have definitely canceled a whole lot of other people out. But nope. She's still hanging on in there. Sandra Santiago. Now, yes, you know her. You know her. Do you remember Beach Street? Do you remember Beach Street? Well, remember, what's his name? Ramo. Yes, Ramo got killed when he was spraying the graffiti on the train and Spit, who was writing over his graffiti, was messing up his tags, and he chased him on the track, and then they both got electrocuted. Yes, you remember Beach Street from 1984. Well, Sandra Santiago played his baby mama. Yes. Yes, see, now I knew you would remember if I went back that far. Yeah. Well, she is 62 years old. And I got to say, she doesn't look that bad. Yeah. Doesn't look that bad. Not at all. Who else is still hanging out with? Oh, everybody knows Felicia Rashad. Yep. Felicia Rashad, her sister is Debbie Allen, and she is known as Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Yes. Well, she's still hanging out with us at 71 years old. Okay. Well, wait a minute. I just looked at the date of this article. And this article is dated 2018. Well, who knows how old these people are now. Well, as of 2018, she was 70-some-odd years old. Okay? Okay. Wow, where else? Who else are we talking about here? Who else? Some of these people I know you wouldn't know. At least when I see the people, I'll be able to call back some stuff. But, yeah, they seem to be stuck in a pocket of, you know, people that we don't know. These are like people from, I don't know. Now, this Michael Parkinson, who at the time of this article was 86 years old, go look him up. You know who he is. Go look him up. I recognize his face. I'll look him up. I recognize his face. I don't know, now all of a sudden they're giving us this, these people who were in these British shows. I'm not interested in that. If I don't look at the British shows, it drives me crazy. I don't know about you, but it drives me crazy. I can't take that talk for very long. And Margaret. Wow. I remember Anne Margaret. She has been in this thing for years. Yeah. Well, Anne Margaret is 79 years old as of this particular article. Yeah. Angela Lansbury. Angela, is she still alive? I gotta look that up. Angela Lansbury. Is she still alive? Because for some reason, I thought I remembered she passed away. So let's see. Let's see. Is she still alive? Yeah, she is still alive. Now, everybody knows Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote. Yes, remember that was a big show, but up here, my millennial. Let me tell you who Angela Lansbury is. Remember Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon? She was Mrs. Teapot. Yes, she lent her voice to that particular very popular Disney cartoon. And yes, as of the day this article was published, she was 94 years old. Wow. Okay. Let's see. Denise Austin. Now, you know, she was in that Let's Get Physical era, you know, where you always saw the women jumping up and down on the TV doing, you know, the fitness shows. Yeah. She was one who first made that popular. Yep. So at that time, she was 62 years old. So I don't know how much jumping around she was actually doing because, yeah. You know, you just don't know how long all this stuff gonna last you. But I have to tell you, you know, those people who really took care of their bodies, you know, they can do a little thing. Because I've seen some people up in their 70s, and they're running the track, and, you know, they're jogging, and they're doing their brisk walking. Yeah, so don't underestimate them. Grace Jones. Now, let me tell you who Grace Jones is, if you don't know. Grace Jones is famous for our younger generation for Boomerang. Yes. Come on, Shanti. Give me her character. Yes. What is her character? She was this raunchy. Oh, yes. Strange. Yes. She was this raunchy, long-legged, tall, you know, Strange, who was on Boomerang, and she didn't have a whole lot of camera time, but her camera time was quite memorable. Remember, she took off the underwear and threw them in the car and all of this kind of stuff. Yes. And I have to tell you, I didn't realize that she was a Jamaican born. Yes, she is the sister. I just found out about 4 or 5 years ago that she is the sister of Noel Jones. Yes, that big time preacher, Noel Jones. Yes, that is her brother. Yep. All right. Guess who else is on the list? And I gotta tell you, she's looking quite good. Katie Segal. Everybody knows who she is. Now, she's from two different shows that if you watched, you would definitely know. Well, first of all, she's known for Married with Children. Yes, Peggy Bundy. Oh, they used to make me so sick. Peggy Bundy. And she's known for Sons of Anarchy. Yes, she had a big role in that friend, that show, that series. And she, as of this post, was 64 years old. Now, let's go back a little bit. Noel Jones, N-O-E-L, Noel Jones. Everybody knows Noel Jones if you're in this, you know, community. He's very tall. He's a big-time preacher. He just got married to this Loretta woman who he had been dating forever and ever and ever. And when the preacher's show came on, that reality show came on about the preachers with him and Dietrich Haddon and some of the other preachers, he was one of the preachers that was featured on the show. And he's the one who speaks very intellectually. Yes, when he preaches, you know, he uses these big words and, You know, he speaks very slowly, and, you know, he's very precise with what he says. Yes, that's Grace Jones's brother, Noel Jones. Okay? All right. Who else is on this list? Excuse me. I'm having a good time with this. I don't know about you all. I'm actually having a good time with this. Something different. Something different. You know, just not here to preach to you all the time. You know, it's something different. Ah. Now, let's see who else we know on this. It's Goldie Hawn. Yes. Goldie Hawn, she's known for Burning the Wire, Private Benjamin. Excuse me, she was another one who got started in the comedy sketch show, Rowan and Martin's Laughing. She's been around for a while, and she's one who's been with Kurt Russell for a long time, and they never got married. Yeah, they've been together forever. As a matter of fact, she has a very famous daughter. I can't think of her name, but you know her, especially the millennials. She's pretty good. She's a pretty good actor, young lady. Look up Goldie Hawn's daughter and Kurt Russell's daughter. You know her. Well, Goldie Hawn is, let's see, kind of went past her. Goldie Hawn, as of this post, 73 years old. Yeah, she's 73. Well, guess who else is on this list? Stevie Wonder. Yes. Well, we know Stevie's not gone because, let me tell you, Stevie didn't sing at everybody's funeral. Yes. I don't care whose funeral it is, whether it's on TV or not. You ain't going to have a funeral, and you're not going to have Stevie Wonder singing at it. I have yet to see one funeral happen that they not caught no Stevie Wonder off to sing at this funeral. So Stevie Wonder is, as of this post, 70 years old. Yes. 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 Come on, little Stevie. Let's see. Who else? Suzanne Somers. Now, everybody knows Suzanne Somers. Three's Company. Yes. And Step by Step, Day by Day. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Suzanne Somers has been around for a little while. Yeah, she's been around for a little bit. And, she, I have to tell you, she was also one who was doing the fitness thing. She was the first person who came out on, what do you call that thing, on like an infomercial with some type of fitness device. Yes. Yep, she was the first one. So she doesn't look that bad, actually. She doesn't look that bad. And as of that time, she was 73 years old. Excuse me. Who else? You know, she also helped to peg that tagline, a Disney blonde. Yeah, she really nailed that one. Yeah, that's the way people talked about her. Kelsey Grammer. Yes. Kelsey Grammer has been around for a while. You know, for those of you who used to watch What's That Bar Show? What's the bar show with, what's his name? Sitting at, oh my goodness. Everybody, Cheers. Yes, he actually got a start on Cheers. Then he got his own show, Frasier. Well, I also want you to know that he is the producer behind or executive producer behind Girlfriend. Yes. Yes. And he's been around for quite some time. And as of this post, he was 65 years old. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Tom Selleck. You know Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck used to be Magnum P.I. Yes. Magnum P.I. And he then got a second wind with Blue Bloods. Yes, Blue Bloods. I love Blue Bloods. It's about a family of cops, and he's the commissioner. Well, as of this post, he was 74 years old. Yes. This is a long list here. This is a long list here. Jamie Farr. Oh, my goodness. Is he? Wow. He was another one from the MASH show. And 85 years old as of this post. Wow. Let's go through this. We got a couple of minutes. Let's see what we got. Then I'll talk to you about some news. I'm going to go through one more page, and I'll be back with this. I'm coming back with this. All righty. I don't think you'll know any of these people. So those are the old stars that we remember. And we're going to talk about some news now. Let's see what the news has to say. Well, while I got this one up, I'll talk about this. So here we are again with these mentally ill people walking the street who they've had an opportunity to take them off the street. Well, there was a man who, an 82-year-old man, who recently was attacked. And he was attacked by a 20-year-old woman who slashed him in the head with a machete. And the reason why this one really, really stinks is because they said that this woman has had seven arrests. Seven arrests. And she is still walking. She was still walking the streets. And most of this stuff she was doing and threatening people with this machete. They continued to let her go up until she struck this man in the head with a machete. 82-year-old man, concierge, working. He's coming from work. And she attacked him, and now they are blaming, what's her name, Hochul, because they're saying her bail reform is trash, and they have allowed these people to walk and walk and walk and walk and walk, and now, you know, this man doesn't, you know, now he has to suffer. Now, can you imagine, you already 82, and somebody strikes you in the head with a machete, somebody who they've had in their possession 6-7 times, and because they can't figure out what to do with you properly, handle you properly, they don't deal with you properly, you are still walking the streets to continue to be a menace, and now you strike this man in the head. What do you tell somebody's family? What do you tell somebody's family at this point? There's nothing you can say, because there's nothing you would be ever able to say to me, ever. So, yeah, yet again, you've got that whole issue of this bail reform and you're not handling these mentally ill people properly. And this one here, they've known that she's been mentally ill. We talk about, you know, these people who they finally say are mentally ill, you know, they put that on the list. No. This is something that they know for a fact. And they've known for a fact. And they still messed around. Okay, for those of us who did DoorDash and Uber Eats and all of this kind of stuff, you know, I read this article and I was like cringing. So you have this DoorDash customer, pretty common and famous. Is Damian Swade Sanders in California? He ordered his food from Wingstop, and when he got his food, all he got was the chicken bones. Yep, and a note. That's all he got: chicken bones and a note. He said the box that the chicken wings were in was empty of the chicken wings themselves, and the note read, "I'm sorry, I, the number 8, C-H-O, food. I'm sorry, I ate your food. I'm broke in, the letter N, I'm broke and hungry. Consider it like you're paying it forward. I'm quitting this lame $8 job anyway," and that's N-E-way, B, the letter B, blessed. "Sign your DoorDash guy." Let me read to you one. "I'm sorry I ate your food. I'm broke and hungry. Consider it like you're paying it forward. I'm quitting this lame $8 on job anyway. Be blessed, your DoorDash guy." So this Swade guy notified DoorDash, so they gave him all kinds of, coupons, Wingstop got a whiff of it, so they're, giving him some stuff. But I have to tell you, really, you eating the people's food, talking about considering that you paid it forward. And I just cringed. Oh, my gosh. I just cringed. I said to myself, Lord, this is why you got to pray over your food. Because at one point or another, you're going to get something delivered. You're going to get something delivered. And they said that, out in California, they had another incident where this person who ordered their food, they happened to notice when they went to the door that the DoorDash driver took a sip from the milkshake they ordered for their son before ringing the doorbell. And I'm saying to myself, well, first of all, did you take a sip out the straw? Or did you actually open up the cup, sip from it, and put the lid back on? This is way too much thinking. This just made me, again, cringe. I'm like, oh, my God, our food is... And you know that, you have the potential of having people mess with your food. But, hey, it's scary. It's scary when you get the real deal in front of you. So I just wanted to share that with you. Just look at your food. Just look at your food when you get it. Here's another thing about your food you need to watch. Oh, my goodness gracious. There's something going on with your food when... Hold on. Did I just close the article? Hold on. Burger King. Now, why isn't this coming up? Hold on. Let me... Hold on. Let me pull it up because I want to tell you, because this is really important that you watch your food. Okay, here we go. You have this article about Burger King. And this woman claims that she had to spend 4 days in a hospital after biting into her Burger King chicken, the little chicken strips. Well, those chicken strips are by Tyson. actually, the chicken fries. And it says when she bit in it, there was metal fragments in the chicken fries. Yeah. And she got home and started throwing up blood. But when she bit down in it, she started bleeding anyway. And I guess she thought, you know, she spit it out. But when she got home, she started spitting up blood, which prompted her to go to the hospital. Well, come to find out, it was the metal fragment. They say, let me read it to you. According to the lab that did the research on what this metal fragment was, it was determined that the fragments were made from high carbon steel and were consistent with a broken penknife or utility blade. Testing also reportedly showed that the metal fragments had not been cooked with the raw chicken and were unlikely to have come from any machinery. So they don't know where this metal fragment came from, where it resembled the consistency of a broken penknife or a utility blade. Man, this was in her food. Now, she didn't get her food delivered. This is what she ended up with when she went to McDonald's. So they're saying that Tyson Foods says that, you know, they only produce high-quality, safe food enjoyed by millions of consumers. So who knows? Who knows? They're not going to take the responsibility. Burger King is not going to take the responsibility. So this woman she says, like $30,000 in medical bills. Well, needless to say, we're not going to even doubt that she's suing. We know she's going to sue. We know she's going to sue with beyond the shadow of a doubt, because you'd be an idiot not to sue. Okay? So, I don't know. Here's this other story I want to end with, which is really interesting to me. So they have this funeral going on, and the casket was being carried by some pallbearers, and one of them, I believe, was the brother who was carrying this casket. Well, they say all they heard was the yelling of this man's name. So, wait a minute. It was his father's casket. Yes, it was carrying his father's casket to the hearse. And all they heard was, Jason Owens, pow, 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 pow. Yes. Well, it was the marshals who had this warrant for this man's arrest. And they said, the family said, all the people that were out there said all they heard was someone yell his name, and they just shot him. So blood is everywhere now, all over his 18-year-old son's shirt. In front of everybody. You're carrying the casket of your father, and all of a sudden, the fugitive squad, because that's what happened. He was a fugitive. He was wanted. I don't know how long he had been out and how long they had been, you know, looking for him. But that's how they did it. They didn't give him a chance to surrender or anything. And they're saying that normally, if something like that happens, if they go to pick up a person with a warrant, you know, they have a warrant for a person's arrest and it's at a funeral, what they normally do is they let the funeral take place. They let them, you know, do that. And when the person walks off is when they arrest them. And they're saying they don't know what happened. You know, some extenuating circumstance must have taken place. And all of the bystanders said it was no extenuating circumstances that took place, because all they heard was the name yelled out, and then they heard gunshots. They said in the blink of an eye, the man was dead. And so they claim, the warrant squad claims, that when they got up on him, that he had a gun. And they're saying, no, that's not factual either. Well, he is on the other side of the fence, so it ain't us this time. And they're saying that, you know, of course now they're going to do all of this investigating. But, you know, some of these people who carry these guns, they just want to shoot. They just want to shoot. They just want to shoot. So one of the bystanders, they said that when they shot him, of course he fell. So they were running towards the guy who had been shot, and the cop told them, the officers told them, you better step back or I'm going to shoot you. What kind of mess is that? What kind of mess is that? I'm telling you, they're out of control. They are out of control. So even if this person was someone who was wanted, that's understandable. But hey, come on now. Come on. Y'all can do better than this. Y'all can do much better than this. Well, it's time for me to talk to my due time crew, talk to my guys. And Brother Al might be a little shaky today. And I want to give this a try. If it seems like he can't talk, then we're going to leave him and let him do what he do. So let's say good morning, hopefully, to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Hey, good morning. I was able to slip off for a few minutes. How you doing?
How are you, Brother Al?
Everything is good, you know. School just starting back for the first couple of days, a little rough getting everybody situated, but I'm blessed. I'm doing good. I woke up this morning. I got to work safe. I'm breathing good, so I'm all good and blessed.
Wow. Well, Brother Al, I want to ask you, do you get your food delivered by DoorDash or any of those Uber Eats? Anybody?
Nah, you know, that's one of the biggest things with me. I don't trust people with my food. I rarely eat out. I eat out once in a blue moon. Most of the time I'm cooking because I just don't trust people with my food. I really don't.
Well, here's the reason why you shouldn't trust people with your food, Brother Al. They have this this guy out in California who ordered from Wingstop, and when he got his food, he had a note in the food along with all the chicken bones. And the note read, I'm sorry I ate your food. I'm broke and hungry. Consider it like you're paying it forward. I'm quitting this lame $8 job anyway. Be blessed. Sign, your DoorDash guy. Now, I would have sooner not delivered the food. Because did you really think that the people were not going to complain and you will lose your job anyway? Well, Brother Al, they just gave you a reason why you will continue not to have your food delivered.
Exactly. And you know that I'm sitting here laughing like you actually gonna write me a note. Basically thanking me for the food that I paid for. Yo, that's insane. That's absolutely insane. You basically said thank you. Thank you for the mail. And you're gonna leave the bones. Like you said, I prefer you to don't even deliver, because now that made me even madder. I mean, I'm real mad now.
Yeah. I would sooner you not deliver the food if you were all that hungry and you ate, and that way, you know, when I report the fact that you never delivered my food, they're going to come after you anyway, DoorDash. But at least they wouldn't have known you to touch my food. I tell you, this is one of the reasons why, you know, people always, I just said, pray over your food. Now, this other incident where the man was carrying he was acting as a pallbearer for his father's funeral. And as they were carrying the casket to the hearse, the Warren squad got there. They called out his name and they shot him. So they say normally the procedure is that when it's a funeral, they let the person attend the funeral, and when the person walks off from the funeral, they then arrest him or her. You know, they then arrest. But all the bystanders said all they heard was Jason Owens, pow 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 pow. And when they went over to him, one of the officers said, "You better step back or I'm gonna shoot you." Yo, what is that? You are all out of control. I don't know, Brother Al. This is just really showing that, you know, these people, they're taking the power that they have and they're going buck wild with it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, wow, you know, you call his name, he turned around and you shoot him. So y'all had something against this man. Y'all really wanted this man dead. Y'all said, you know what? I got the power to do this, so we're going to do it. So what excuse can you say? He didn't pull out a weapon. He didn't resist arrest. So what excuse do you have? You know, I'm scared to ask what side of the fence he was on. You know? So
It's not us.
Oh, okay. I mean, it shouldn't be nobody, so I'm not going to say that, but it's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. They also claim that when they got up on him, he had a gun. And the bystanders are saying that's not true either. Well, even if he had a gun, you know he didn't have the gun in his hand at the time because he's carrying a casket. So he's not carrying the casket with his left hand and a gun in the right hand. So either way, y'all jacked this one up. Either way, y'all jacked this one up. All right, Brother Al, we're going to give you a pause to go handle your business, and we're going to come back and see if you're still available, okay?
All right, cool.
Thank you for joining us. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm okay, thanks. Now, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Now, Pastor KL, you know, Brother Al is kind of busy this morning, and, you know, in his busyness, he wasn't able to give us a quote. feel free to give us a quote.
Touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. How about that?
Needless to say, I was over here holding my breath. I hope you go to the Bible. That's always safe. It's always a safe space. Please, Jesus, please. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Pastor KL, we're talking about this DoorDash incident. And, you know, every time, you know, we order something, I'm in the background praying, God, just watch over my food. Because sometimes in here, we're so busy working. You know, we look at the food that's in the house, we're like, okay, who cooking that? So you're kind of forced, you know, to get your food delivered. But do you get any kind of DoorDash or Uber Eats?
No, my wife and my children, they hate me with that because I won't even go through the drive-thru. I don't even want my food through the drive-thru. I must go inside to get my food so that when I look at it, I can cut up right then and there. You know, I want to go to the drive-thru, but I don't want to drive off and then have to drive back. No, I want to go inside. So as I check, if something's wrong, we're going to address it right there. I ain't got to come back, bring a receipt, do No, 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 no. And then DoorDash, no. First of all, I don't want you to know where I live.
Oh, okay. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, at least you won't never have to worry about getting a box full of chicken bone marrow.
No.
Or your
see that,
fries.
Can see right there? That's not the will of God for their life. To even deliver that stuff with an empty caucus in my box. That wouldn't be a good precedent for the company. You know, I'd be on the knees. Because, you know, listen, when you're doing DoorDash or when you're doing anything, you're hungry. I mean, the reason why you're ordering this stuff is because you're hungry.
Right.
So you come to my house and the box is empty and I'm hungry. And I'm 265 pounds, and a lot of times the driver's like 98 pounds soaking wet. They got to worry about quitting the job. You don't have to worry about quitting the job.
that is crazy. That is crazy. Like you said, that's why I gave the instance of, you know, how we end up in this house. You know, Shantice is working, I'm working, and you know, God forbid I done went to the store because I ran an errand because that wipes me out for the rest of the day. You might as well give me some chicken feed.
Right.
You know, like you said, you just want to eat. You know, you just want to eat. So you kind of busy yourself from the time that they, you know, say your order should be there. And then for you to actually get your order and for it to be the scrap. I was showing you not bring me anything. Just don't show up because I know people who do DoorDash and they end up with the food because the people somehow never pick up the food. The customer never gets the food and address was wrong somehow and they weren't able to figure it out and they end up with the food, the delivery drivers. So sometimes, you know, that'll happen for you, but to take somebody's scraps, that was so insulting. So insulting.
Right.
And ain't nobody trying to talk to you after that. Ain't nobody trying to dialogue. All that's gone. All righty. We got this Paul Bearer who was just outright murdered based on what everybody else is saying who was standing around. Also, I'm going to tell you something. What I just realized, and we can talk about this. So, you yell, Jason Owens, and you fire. God only knows you could have shot anybody out there that day.
Right. Right. I mean, first of all, it was a disrespect to the person, to the father, who was already, you know, dead. But, I mean, he was a pallbearer, which means that he was carrying the casket. Where was he going?
Right.
You know, so
right.
I mean, you already had him in a situation where once he put the casket down, you know, even if your men went closer to where he is, you know what I mean? He wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going to drop his, even if he knew he was a fugitive, you know, he was honoring his father. So he wouldn't have dropped his father to get away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was totally tasteless and disrespectful. You already had them there. You had enough men there, obviously, because it was an okay corral. You were shooting them like he was target practice. So in your mind, this is what you're going to do. How did you see a gun, or how did he pull out a gun while carrying the casket?
Right.
I just don't understand.
Right. That's why when I read it, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Even you claim, they claim that, you know, they told the powers that be that, you know, he had a gun. But all the bystanders said, no, he didn't. Well, it wouldn't have even made sense. Because, again, you carry in the casket with one hand and you walking openly with a gun in your other hand.
Right.
That doesn't even make any sense. So they really messed up on this one. And, you know, again, you know, a life, you know, down the drain for some carelessness. They don't say what he was wanted for, but it ain't all that bad because you could have gotten him earlier. Or, again, like you said, you know, and like they said they have this procedure. This is a normal procedure. If they walk up on someone who has an open warrant and they find this person at the funeral, and I'm going to be honest, Pastor Kale, they probably do find a lot of people at the funerals. You follow what I'm saying? If you know somebody
that
was close to this person, yeah, you know that person is more than likely going to go to the funeral, so you're going to target that funeral. So this is why they're saying that there's a procedure when they approach with a warrant at a funeral. They let the person participate in the funeral, and when they walk off is when they arrest them. So whatever was going on, that all you had time to do was yell and the person name and fire, that just tells me that anybody else could have gotten shot as well. Because think about it this way. If he's carrying a casket, look at the close proximity of all the people carrying the casket.
Right. And then at some point, the casket had to fall.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you shot him, he let go.
Come on. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You shot him, everybody let go. Because everybody's looking for cover.
Right.
The other three ain't carrying the body. Listen, the body already dead. I got to save me.
Right. No, it's very true. It's very true. When you see him fall, everybody's ducking. Like you said, this is. You know, when I read that, I was like, you know what, y'all really twisted. Y'all are really, really, really twisted. All right.
Now you got to go back to the office. Now you got to go back to the office and see if you get a 2-for-1. There got to be a deal on. There got to be a 2-for.
You know what? Leave it up to you. Leave it up to you to go in that direction.
I'm just saying, well, you know, I have to come back here. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, you know, again, you can't trust people, you know, because we just got finished talking about, you know, you and Brother Al got on. We just got finished talking about another incident where this local governor is under fire again because there was a man, 82 years old, who was struck in the head with a machete by a 20-year-old woman who they had arrested 7 times prior, where she had either threatened someone or done something with the same machete. And they let her walk around all this time. And this man, 82 years old, coming home from work, he's a concierge. Now, you 82 coming home from work as a concierge. Man, and somebody strikes you in the head with a machete. So you can't
trust. First of all, the thought of you 82 years old at all working. Just that thought.
Yes.
You know, you are working at 82, and we can't get that 20-year-old or 23-year-old to work.
Right. And that's why I emphasize it. 82 years old coming from work as a concierge. They don't sit down on their job. They're pretty much up on their feet for the whole show. So you got this man coming home from an honest day's work, and you have this woman who you have allowed to walk around. So you don't even you're not safe with that with the citizens. You're not safe with the authority. It's like you're just not safe. You're just not safe. Period.
And then they wonder why we take the law in our own hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because no one's protecting us but us.
Right. It's either you do what you need to do, or either something's going to happen to you. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. Everybody's on guard. And unfortunately, this is the world that we live in now. This is the world we live in. And what do you expect people to feel?
Absolutely.
I don't know, Pastor Taylor. Well, I got to tell you.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
These last couple of days, you know, I've been on and I've got, you know, I got a topic, but I don't know. By the time we get to the topic, I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling this at all. And I'm going to put it out there for you today. Is it something that's happened or something you've seen or something you've heard that's like, you know, hey, I can't believe that happened. But, you know, before we do that, let's check with Brother Allen, see if he's got something that he's, you know, seen or heard, or, you know, and he's like, I can't believe that happened. Brother Al, you available? Mm. Okay, this is the first
time. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So is there something that you saw, you heard, you read, somebody said to you that it's like, yo, really? I can't even believe that happened.
Man, I'm quite sure it is. I just, let me tell you real quick. I can't think of the offhand right now, but I know there is something. I just can't think of it.
All right, we'll come back.
Okay.
We'll come back. Brother,
okay.
Pastor, what you got for us? You always fishing through the internet.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything right now. The only thing that comes up into my mind, perhaps this is off topic, but I saw that the queen had died. And a lot of folks are saying, you know, she has something to do with Diana dying. And I was actually, or I was thinking, you know, do you reap what you sow? You know what I mean?
Why do you say that?
Was you so entangled? Well, you know, if you're so entangled with her dying, then you know, how many people are really upset that you passed away?
Oh, okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
They you were honored, but then you were dishonored at the same time. You know, and she,
okay.
She's been a queen for a long time, for a long time. So she
oh,
was
yeah.
the power at B. You know,
yeah, she was.
So I mean, listen, she lived her life. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, you know, she was a spring chicken. She had a good life. You know, as the folks would say, she had a good run. She had a good run. You know, but, you know, when you start thinking about, you know, different folks and, you know, they still getting accolades and stuff like that, and you know behind them is the dirt. You understand what I'm saying? It kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth, you know, for a case in point. You know, Louis Farrakhan and Malcolm X, you know, you still get accolades, but you know the dirt you did. You know, it's just a lot for me.
Yeah, they have been talking forever, you know, since a lady dies death. They've always said, you know, remember, mm-hmm. the big scandal was the paparazzi. You know, they were running from the paparazzi.
Right.
And the car crashed, but they said
right.
they had been saying for years, you're right, that she was secretly behind this death. Now, what I find interesting is, first of all, when I went to look for the news, you couldn't find no other news. All that was
right.
News was that she had died. And maybe it's me, Pastor Taylor. Let's go back a little bit. Our news here in the United States is plastered with the news that this queen has died. She's not our queen. I don't mean no harm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Am I making any sense here?
Right.
It's like I couldn't find
right.
any news. I had to scour through all of this, and it's not that, you know, I'm not sorry to hear that she's passed or whatever, but I'm saying to myself, I can't get no news because the queen has not. She didn't never. She never sent her own Stephanie. She never came to please. She never, you know, came to knock on my door and or ask me if I wanted anything, Pastor KL. Has she ever been to Alabama?
You get no stimulus check.
You're right.
I ain't get no stimulus check tomorrow.
And I'm like, why is our new classic with somebody who ain't got nothing to do with us? Nothing.
Right, right.
So, okay, so then you go back to, like you said, you know, her name has been behind, you know, the cause of Lady Di's death and so forth. But what I also find interesting is they also made a big deal that now Prince Charles takes the seat, who was the ex-husband
right.
of Lady Di.
Right.
So as I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's just, again, you know, I think there could have been some other stuff that we definitely could have read about. You know, despite the fact that the news is becoming, becoming quite redundant. You know, you don't want it to keep talking about the same thing. And that's why I always find, like, little different. I try to find things that are a little different. But... You know, I found that interesting too. It's like I can't get no news because this woman and died, and I'm sorry that she died, but I'm sorry she ain't none of my queen, and why I got to go through all of this. But nonetheless, let's see if Brother Allen came up with something now, because there's something that was said this morning that I want to get your thought on, Brother Al.
Oh yeah.
Okay, did something come to your mind?
Yeah, you know, actually some news, you know, concerning these children. You know, I love the kids, been working here for a while. So there was two things came to one of the news that I heard. This year alone, 480,000 teachers either retired or resigned across the city. And that is so crazy. And that's because they give these kids so much power. You know, that teachers are getting fed up, and they are hurting for teachers. So when I saw that 480,000 teachers either resigned or retired, and
wow.
One of the I think what pushed it even more, they just put in this crazy chancellor who grew up in the hood that should know better and know what goes on. He put in this thing called Section 421, and Section 421 says if you're with a student, if you're staff. I don't care what you is, lunch teacher, whatever, but if you're DOE staff and you say something to this child and it hurts that child's feelings, that you are liable to lose your job. And I'm just sitting there looking at them like, wow. You just basically saying don't say nothing to these kids. Just let them do whatever they want to do. And you think the kid's not going to use that? Mr. Al said such and such, and that hurt my feelings. Now I'm being questioned, going to like a court situation. And, you know, and then they wonder why people are quitting. You know, good people, these teachers who've been in the game for a while, who do great teaching, they wonder why they quit. This is why.
Wow. You know, Pastor, before I open up my mouth and say anything, Pastor KL, what comes to your mind when you hear a rule coming down like that, you know, where you can't say anything that might hurt a child's feelings or either your job is at risk?
Yeah, you taking the power. First of all, you know, you send your children to us so we can babysit these bad children. You know, and now I can't say anything to them. You know, you want me to raise your children. You want me to make sure that they're safe, but they can run amok. They can throw chairs. I just saw a video on Facebook where this child was throwing chairs and all type of stuff. They had to get all the children out of the classroom, and she was throwing tables and all type of stuff. But that's okay. And then when the teacher tried to tell her to calm down, he pushed the teacher out of the way. The teacher couldn't do nothing but let her get out of the classroom. Like that. You know, when my children want me to babysit, I let them know before you leave the house, I still beat kids. I still beat them. It's okay. So I mean, when you take away all power, you know, I don't want to work there, because at any time you can slap me, it's okay. At any time you can spit on me, it's okay. If I say anything to you, you know, it's however you see it. You know, I could have said something and mentioned one way, but your interpretation was another way, so now I've offended you. No, I can't walk on eggshells trying to educate your children.
And that's what came to my mind. You know, I have a tagline that I've used for a few decades now. You cannot dictate or determine the way a person receives or perceives what you say. Regardless of your intent, you can't dictate or determine how that lands in for someone else. And for you to talk about a child, now I'm an adult, you're a child, and do we say things sometimes that's out of the way? Absolutely. However, like you said, now it's up to that child's interpretation. How many times, Brother Allen and Pastor KL, has something been said to someone, and when you kind of, so initially it becomes this big outright conversation, it's intense, and then when everybody calms down, the person says, "Oh, I'm sorry. But the reason why I took it that way is because I just got finished going through another conversation, or I just got finished going through an issue with so-and-so, and, you know, that's what I saw and that's what I heard." How many times have you heard that, Brother Al, from an adult?
Oh, thousands of times, especially working here at the school. You get a parent come in, going off, and I just sit there and look at them. See, usually when they bring parents, they call me in because I don't all got to try to explain them. You're not going to get anywhere with an angry parent or an angry person. So I sit there and let you get your steam off. When they finish getting their steam off, I'm like, "What would you like to see done?" And then when they say, "Well, I want to see this, this, and this," okay, according to our rules, we can do this, but we can't do that. You know, and I get it all the time. Then they'll calm down. You know, "Mr. B, I'm so sorry, man. You know, I just got real angry real quick and this and that." But to me, that's an excuse. There's no excuse to be disrespectful to somebody. You know, they tell me all the time, "Mr. Al, I'm telling you, make a great teacher." I was like, "No, I won't, because I'll be on the news. I'll be on every news channel. You'll be looking at me like, ain't that Brother Al right there?" Because I'm telling you, the disrespect is so much. And I explained to the parents. I had a meeting with parents, and I broke it down to them. I said, take this teacher, for instance. You got the child in there being disrespectful, cursing at the teacher, saying this and that, and this teacher sitting there can't say nothing back. Then when the teacher do say, "I'm going to write you up" or whatever, they call you as a parent. You as a parent come up to the school irate, ready to beat the teacher up and stuff, and now you still got this same teacher got to teach 35 kids in the school, in their class. They stressed out from your child and from you, so how can they be effectively teaching your child?
Yep.
You know, they can't be effective because they stress. Now, then I told some of the parents, "Okay, you're not going to agree with the teacher all the time. I get that. And that's a part of life. You're not going to agree. But you know what? Come up to the school and request a meeting so we can talk. Don't stand there in front of your child cursing me out, talking about me, because kids use it. I got one kid now. I said, "Yo, why you ain't going to class?" "Oh, I can't stand her." I said, "Well, that's person. You got to go and do business. My mother don't even like her. My mother ready to beat her behind." So now you just gave that child fuel.
Wow.
The
school just got started yesterday.
I know.
Goodness gracious.
I'm telling you.
School just got started yesterday.
They wait no time. They wait for no time. It ain't as bad yet, but they got some things going on. And it's just crazy. These kids' mouths, oh, my God, they're ridiculous. You know, when we was younger, we might have said a curse word here or there, but we made sure we hid. You know, we saw a dog, we got, "Oops," and these kids here, they don't care if you're standing there or whatever. They say it will cuss you out. The first thing these kids do when an adult say to them is go in. But, see, they don't do that with me. The kids tell me, "Oh, Mr. Al, not the one." That's right. Spread the word. Spread the word.
Wow. Thank you. Pastor KL, you know, how many times have you spoken to someone and, you know, they've responded and it had nothing to do with you? It's something that they didn't, you know, kind of carry from another conversation or something that happened to them, and they're like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, you know, just made me think about something, conversation that I just had or an experience I went through. And now everything is in turmoil because that's what they went through.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're married or ever been married, you dealt with that a lot. You know, sometimes depending on your significant other's job, you know, they're stressed and they're coming home with that stuff. And then you just got caught in the middle of it. You got the blunt of it all. You know, I mean, so this definitely happens. This really, really happens. You know, when you're outside or when you're at work, you know, again, people bring stuff from home, you know, and you say something and they snap off on you. But it's not you they snapping off on. It's the situation they just brought from home. You know, that's why, you know, they say you can't bring, you know, what happened at home to work. You can't bring what's happening at work home. You know, so a lot of times, you know, we get the blunt or people get the blunt of things that had nothing to do with us. And listen, we're the help. And we get beat up as if we're the enemy.
Right. You know, so I take that into this rule now that says, if you hurt this child's feelings, you don't know what this child has just got finished coming through at home. You know, I used to say, you know, stop yelling at the kids. And Sean Tisa probably like, oh, look at her talking. It took a long time, and probably after Sean Tisa's kids were already gone, out of high school, that I realized we can't, you know, you get up in the morning, you yelling at the kids. And I was like, wow, you know, that's something to send that child to school with, you know, or your, because you late, you know, or something happened to them and now they're yelling at the child and the child goes off to school in the morning all twisted. And now the teacher can't say anything because whatever the teacher says will have some type of effect on the child because of what the child has just gone through. So, you know, you got to be careful of the rules you kind of put into place because everything ain't for everywhere or everybody. So, you know, that's why I was asking, you know, how many times has that really happened to us? Well, that's what you're leaving the child with. The possibility that child has been experiencing something from the home or on the way to school or whatever situation is, or possible bullying that they're experiencing, and now you can't say what you need to say because of what they're going through. Brother Al, you said two things. That was one.
I'm sorry, say that again, Pastor Steph, I'm sorry.
You said you had two things. That was one. What was the other?
Oh, no, that was both of about the teachers quitting and retiring, and then the other one was that section 421 they put in. Yeah, that was both of them.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. All right. So, Pastor KL, I'm going to give you this word in the PSA. There was a line in the PSA that I played, and it talked about contact lenses. And they were making an analogy to the contact lenses that they, you know, wear in the American horror films. And, you know, they wear contacts to change their eyes and all of this stuff. So they're saying, you know, be careful of, you know, what you put in your eyes. Make sure you go to, you know, the proper authorities to get these contact lenses done, blah, blah, blah. And there was a line that she used. And it says, you can't replace your eyes once they're damaged. And I was like, whoa, oh. And anybody that knows me knows when I get into the, oh, wait, ah, oh, what that means. In the background. And I'm going to read it to you again. You can't replace your eyes once they're damaged. Oh, Pastor KL. Pastor KM. Now you know how me and you get to talking. Please tell me what comes to your mind when you hear that.
Well, that's a bit scary. First of all, I wouldn't want to replace Nas. And second of all, you know, there's so many people now, you know, who has the ability to help you. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, you know, with your retina and stuff like that. And you don't replace them, but you can have heal or fix them. You know, me personally, I wear glasses. You know, I wear glasses. I don't wear them, but I wear glasses. I wouldn't do contact lenses. First of all, I can't see myself putting my finger in my eye. You know, I'm a little scared, so that wouldn't work out for me. You know, but I've seen people, you know, scratch their eyes or scratch the corner of their eyes. You know, that's dangerous. You know, but I still think that there are places and facilities. You know, I don't know why you want to replace your eye. I don't, you know, I'm sure they just give up their eyes, but I don't know why you would want to replace them. I mean, once they're damaged, I mean, how bad did they get that you have to replace them? What did you do?
So that's the carnal, earthly side of the state.
Right. Right.
Now, let's take this to another one.
Okay.
You can't replace your eyes once they're damaged. What does that say to you on a spiritual level?
On a spiritual level, you have no faith. You know, God can do all things but fail. You know, so whatever it is, I mean, listen, he's still at the water giving sight to a blind. You know, he's able, you know, saying to keep us. You know, he's able to fix your limbs. He's able to let you walk. He's able to allow you to talk. You know, he is able to allow you to see. You know, it the battle is not yours. You know, give it to God. Take your burden to the altar and leave him there. You know, God, this is what I need. This is what I desire. He said that he'll give you the desires of your heart. God can fix anything if you allow him to.
All right, all right. Brother Al, are you over there with a thought?
Yeah, I'm here.
What comes to your mind on a spiritual level?
One of the things I always tell people is I know that they're a doctor and everything, but they don't know everything, and that's definitely not a true statement. And I'm a witness to that because when my son passed away and this little girl's eyes was damaged and messed up, they replaced her eyes with my son's eyes, and she sees perfectly. So that statement alone is not true. I wore glasses all my life. I wore contact lenses when I got tired of the glasses. And what happened, people wear contacts and don't learn about the contact. One of the things with contacts is that you have to get a certain kind, because once you put the contact lens on your eye, it takes all oxygen away from your eye. So that's why you have people who wear contacts that have dry eyes and stuff like that. And because your pupil is getting no oxygen. And as you're doing that and doing that and wearing them more and more, you're starting to damage your eye. You know, so people need to learn more about the contact. Contact is, you have to disinfect. When I first started wearing them, I would put the contacts in, and sometimes I didn't wash my hands, you know, good enough. And my eyes swelled up because, you know, and you have to put the contact lens in distance. It's a lot of work to wear contact. And if you're going to do it the proper way, it is a lot of, you know, a lot of work. My nephew, his eyes got damaged as well. He's seeing now. So that statement is not true. And just like Pastor Carol said on the spiritual level, you know, then you're doubting God. God can do anything. God can fix anything. So you're doubting God. You don't have no faith, you know. So I always tell people, I listen to the doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm listening to you. But certain things I just disagree with. Don't sit there and tell me this can't be done. They told my father he would never walk again. Before my father died, he was walking. So God can do anything. So I'm here to tell y'all, don't give up hope when this doctor said that's this man or woman. God got the last word.
Amen. 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 You know, a lot of a lot of what you said can be a lot of what you said. I need that reference. I need that script, the full scripture reference. I just got someone just sent me something regarding something biblical that was said, and I'm glad that, you know, it's catching. It's catching. All right, so let me pull this up. Philippians 3, 15.
I'm sorry, what reference did you need?
Philippians 3, 15 and 16, someone just sent.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna pull it up, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. Let's see what this says. Oh, why did I go that long? All right, hold on. Got to quote the Bible verse. What I was saying was, even with what you were both saying regarding the earthly side, even when Brother Al went into some of the details about, it takes the oxygen away from your eyes once you put the contact lens. Which I was told, because I too used to wear contacts for a little while, and that speaks to a spiritual fact as well. All right, so here we go. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Why do I follow? That's different. That's different than what you sent me. Oh, okay. All right, let me change my version. Oh, they got me all twisted. All right, hold on. Let's read the message version. All right, hold on. A little slow here today. Okay. So let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. So you have this scripture reference that someone sent out, and I'm asking for a parallel spiritually to the line that says, gotta get my line, you can't replace your eyes once they're damaged. And the both of you were talking about the fact that, I wear glasses instead, and when I wear glasses, I can take those glasses off, and it gives me one sight. When I put the glasses on, I see another. When I put the contact lens in, although I can see, it's still doing some damage. Because there is nothing healthy about blocking the oxygen of the eye. Because I also know someone who is going through a vision problem right now, and they wore contact lenses the majority of their life. They've worn contact lenses. So, and one of the things, like I said, that I was told when I wore contact lenses, and this person had been told, was, it damages the cornea, it damages the oxygen of the eye, blah, 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 blah. So, it's a lot to be said. It's a lot to be said for us replacing your eyes once they're damaged. So, just kind of picking your brain, like I said, just kind of all over the place today. I just did not have any, and I guess maybe because there's some other stuff that's going on in my head. And just, when you're hosting this show and every day God gives you something, when things are a little off. And, I got my little words, my little topic, just wasn't feeling it for the past couple of days, wasn't really feeling it. And, I want you all to just pay attention to what the gentleman has said about, the physical side of your eyes being damaged and how you treat your eyes and what you are able to see and what you can't see with or without glasses. And think about this spiritual connection. How does it connect with you? what does it say about your vision? What does it say about your view? So I'm going to just kind of leave it open today. And I'm going to ask Brother Al, just give us your quote for today. What do you have on your mind that you say, you know what, I want to tell, if I had one word to give to this world on a godly level, what would I encourage God's people, and how can I encourage God's people this morning? What would I say? Give us that, Brother Al, as your closing.
Okay. What came to mind as you were speaking that was love your neighbor as I have loved you. So God said, you know, love your neighbor as I have loved you. You know, that came to my mind that I would put out there to the world, because it's so much craziness going on and the killings and the no respect. You know, it seems like that love is gone. You know, that it seems like there's no more love here. So I would put that out to the world. Love your neighbor as I have loved you, is what God said. You know, God loves us regardless of what we do, what we go away. How many times have we turned away from God, turned out back, or gave up, and God still stood right there to open arms for us to come back, and we have to forgive, you know what I'm saying? So I would say, you know, love your neighbor as I have loved you, and be forgiven.
All right. Amen. Amen. And that goes along with our news this morning, Brother Al. Our news almost every morning. Love your neighbors as yourself. Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution into this conversation. Thank you for kind of stretching yourself this morning, getting them titties together. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Yes, indeed. Thank you much. Love you, Al.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you, too.
Love you, too.
KL, something's on your mind, something's in your heart, something came through your mind. You want to encourage our listeners, the world, you know, what do you have to say to them this morning?
Well, what I would say is that, remember that God is able. You know, God is able. He's able for what? He's able to do anything you need him to do. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. You know, sometimes we throw our hands up and we want to quit this thing, but you have to look on the other side of the coin. You know, God is still able, even when man or the doctors or the lawyers say no, say guilty, God can still deliver you from that situation. Even when you was talking about the eyes, there's still a man at the river giving sight to the blind. He is able to do all things but fail. You know, there is nothing too hard for God. But you have to get in tune and in touch and form a relationship with him. What shall separate me from the love of God? There should be nothing that separates you. Man will fail you all the time, but I've come to let you know on today that God is able. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you even until the end. Sometimes we give up on ourselves, and God sees the potential in you. He sees who you are. He already knows who you are, and he knows the calling that's on your life. You just have to recognize it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Sometimes we have to do our first works over, and that's okay, because at some point we've lost track of where God had for us. But remember, God will put you back on track. He is the only God that allows you to do U-turns. You can turn away from the situation that you're in right now and get back on track. God is able to even do it in your state that you are right now. Sometimes God is calling us to something, but we keep on saying, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Come back to me later. Listen, why not now? Why not give yourself to God right now? You have already proven to you that you can't do this thing by yourself. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. With me, by myself, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Why? Because he's able.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor KL, for your words and inspiring. our listeners and the hearers to remember that God is able. Thank you so much, and we pray that you are blessed through the day. Thank you for your commitment to just filling up space with God's word. All right, pray that you have a blessed day.
Have a wonderful day as well.
Thank you.
All right.
All righty. Let's hold hands and let's hold hearts as we get ready to close down for the week here on It's Due Time. Because the word that Brother Al gave, treat your, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And Pastor KL, who says God is able, no matter what you do, you can turn this all around if you put it in God's hands. Somebody needed those two words today. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And as always, your spirit reminds us that we cannot come to you without saying thank you. Thank you to Heavenly Father for just waking us up today. Oh, God, your brand new tender mercies that you grace us with each and every day. Thank you, God. Thank you. You love us so much that you would wake us up with the slate different than when we laid down. What kind of God is that? What kind of God would not remind us that we're responsible for one another? What kind of God would have us floating around thinking it's all about us? It's not all about us. Love our neighbor as ourselves. You've given us that great commandment. And we thank you for the reminder this morning that it's not about us. Thank you. Thank you, God, for reminding us that you're able. No matter what state we're in, no matter where we are, no matter what the mistakes may have been, no matter what the word is, I love the phrase, and we can make a U-turn. Because that's what your son was given to us for. Oh. That's what your son was given to us for. Thank you. Thank you for seeing what we would need before we were even here, that you already had a master plan. What kind of God you are, that you would already have a plan before life was even given to us. That we were already given an opportunity before we even got started. That all of this was laid out perfectly. That we don't have to find our way through it. We don't have to, you know, look for the needle in the haystack. We don't have to worry about how is it going to work out and what can we do. All we have to do is give it to you. Thank you. Thank you for loving Stephanie the way you have. Thank you for investing the way you have. Thank you. Thank you for just picking us up each and every time we fall down and dusting us off. Preparing us to move forward yet again. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a listening ear and a desire to hear what you have to say. Thank you. Because I couldn't do what I do here, God, if I was on my own agenda. If I took my eye off the prize, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for just directing each and every one of us to hear your word today.
and thanking you for the Spirit leading to be obedient to hear this today. Thank you, Father, for everybody who won't hear it today, but who hear it next week, next month, next year, that you should spare our life. You have proven your love to us. And my prayer is that each and every individual will now prove our love to you. Thank you. Thank you for just tapping us on the shoulder and reminding us that we are yours and that you are ours. And the only way we walk around without you is because we've chosen to do so. We give you the glory and the honor to rightly do your name today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was asked to give a word. And right before the word, there was a chorus that took place. And I couldn't understand what these people were saying. And I was like, wow, you know, I felt like I was at such a disadvantage because they're all happy while they're singing. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out, what in the world are these people saying? And something, I guess it's for the Lord. I don't like to say something. So the Lord just directed me to look over at one of the brothers in the room. And I just watched his lips move. And I could pick up some of what he was saying. And the words that I picked up, the more they said it, the more it was just hitting me. And I got up to speak, and I just could not get myself together initially because I kept hearing, you know, God keep me, you know, so I'm kind of paraphrasing, you know, keep me from straying from you. And all I could do was think about how grateful I was. You know, when I say to all of you, you know, God snatches me by my collar all the time. You know, he snatches me by my collar. He doesn't play with me. Because I clearly understand he can't play with me because I have a congregation that he's given me. And if I take 9 years to figure this out, then what good am I to you? Because then you'll take 12 years to figure it out. And as I was trying to compose myself, trying to get myself together, something just kept coming to mind. Someone just kept coming to mind. And I just kept, that it made me even more grateful to God that you just didn't let me walk off. You know, when I first got the call, I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I was very, very, very direct with God. I missed no words with the Lord. I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. And, you know, my heart was just, I felt like everything inside of me was just pouring onto this pulpit. I felt like everything, like somebody had just split me wide open and everything was just pouring. And the more I thought about the person and how they're straying, the more I became grateful to God that, yo, I could have been there. But because you snatched me in my collar and the Spirit of the Lord helped me, because I cannot do it on my own, as has been said a little while ago, how many times was I given that opportunity to make that U-turn, to make that about faith, about faith? I was able to do it, but not because of Stephanie. And I kept saying, God, what is it that we need? What haven't you done that you just got to keep banging us in the head? What is it that we're looking for that you don't seem to be doing your job, but it's us? That if a person looked at you, they could literally wonder where your Jesus at. How do we get there when you've done so much for us? When you've taken us at our lowest and you brought us up, and we managed to do everything. We can work. We can do extracurricular activities. We can go to school. We can be with our friends. We can find a man or a woman. We can do all these things. But when a person looks at us, they want to know where our Jesus is. There's something wrong here. Because you know what God has done for you. Can't nobody tell your story like you. No matter how much I want to testify as to how I've seen Shanti's grow, to Major grow, this one grow, that one grow, I can't tell their story like they can. How is it that God has done so much, but you don't acknowledge, and you rip apart everything as you're waffling around and you're good? How do we get here? And I heard the word that said, we can make a U-turn. God ain't never stopped us from making a U-turn before he closed that person's eyes. The only time you can't make the U-turn, that's why the word continues to be given each and every day. Don't wait till it's too late. Because I always say, you don't have to be physically dead. Physical death sometimes is a real favor. Because if we have to walk around, you know, in a messed up mental and emotional state, you wish you were dead sometimes. Don't do it to yourself. Remember, there is always an about-face opportunity. You can acknowledge God, how great and wonderful he is, and he has been to you. See, words just ain't gonna make this thing happen. Feelings just ain't gonna make this thing happen. But your actions will always speak louder than your words. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off for the week. And I want to thank our Due Time crew, our men, for sending us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for participating and hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now, or strengthen that relationship with the Lord so that you won't be shut out, because later it's not promised to any of us. Until Sunday, God spares, where the Word Prayer Project is in effect and we gather at the altar together, holding hands and holding hearts. Until then, God spare our life. I love you.